Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me again this week on the SOS Podcast. I'm your host, Carl. I hope you're all doing well. You ever wonder sometimes how sin just seems to kind of creep into your life or creep into your thoughts? I was in the car, again, listening to music. I actually found a station that plays old ballads and love songs from when I was a kid, from like the 90s and back. So I'm listening to this station and I'm singing along to just about every song because when I was little, that's what I would do. I would just memorize everything that I heard. And one song came on in particular and I'm singing along with this song and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I haven't heard this in forever. And then I had to stop myself because the song, again, it's supposed to be a love song, but it's not really a love song. It's really, honestly, a sin song. It's a song that came out. This is actually the shocking part, is the fact that the song came out. It was released when I was 6 years old. So if I know the words to this song, imagine 6, 7, 8-year-old kid hearing this song on the radio and singing along with it. The song's called Secret Lovers, and it's exactly about what you would think from the title. It's about two people who should not be having a relationship with each other, so they're doing it in secret. When you listen to the lyric of the song, it's, you know, a man and a woman, and each one of them's married and has their own little happy home life with their family. But there is a part of the lyric where they try to justify this relationship. And the way they try to justify it is they say, the feelings are just too real. They're too strong that we can't deny them. And I had to stop for a moment because, again, it just seems like some innocuous piece of music from the past that you might listen to and it's very nostalgic and you just remember where you were at that time in life and you have memories from back then. But if you think about the song itself, it's pretty twisted and it's pretty evil. And the fact that by the world's standards, this is a love song is pretty twisted too, right? Because this is not a song about love. This is a song about lust. It's a song about deception. It's a song about unfaithfulness. So I listen to this song and I think to myself, someone wrote this song, someone produced it, they performed it, it went out on the radio, people bought the tape, because I don't even know if there were CDs in 1985, but they at least bought the tape of this song. They made money off this music, and you had kids like me in the backseat of a car who didn't know any better, singing along to the song, having no idea what it's really about. I could imagine that this song probably got played at school dances, at weddings, at parties, at dance clubs, whatever. The point is, there is a really sneaky way that sin tries to creep in entertainment, whether it's a song or a TV show or a movie. I think these days, and again, this song was back from 1985, so we're talking 35 years ago. But from then, even till now, we really need to be careful of what we allow in through our senses. What we watch, what we listen to, what we expose ourselves to. Specifically, television and movies. Because there is a way that the entertainment industry will take a character who is just unsavory. Just someone who is living in sin, and they'll write this character in a certain way that makes you want to sympathize with them, so that maybe this horrible, sinful figure becomes kind of like a tragic figure, or someone you even might want to identify with. But at the end of the day, do we need to be feeding our minds, our hearts, with any kind of pictures of sin? I remember a conversation I had with a pastor of mine a year or two ago, and we were talking about movies, and I mentioned this one movie in particular that I really liked because I liked the characters, and there were just so many lines in that movie that are classic film lines. And the pastor said to me, he said, "And you have no problem with the language?" And I said, you know, it's just words. And when I said that, I really believed it. I thought, well, it's just words. I like the movie. I like the plot. I like the story. Again, the characters are just these classic archetypes that really draw you in because of the way they speak and their personality. And it's like if they were real people, you'd want to know them. But they just have the dirtiest mouths, and not even because they're speaking out of anger or trying to offend anyone. It's just their characters are the kinds of people who simply speak like that. And so in my mind, I justified watching this movie and loving this movie because, you know what? No one's trying to be dirty. They're just portraying these people as accurately as possible. In real life, they probably would sound like that. In real life, they would say those words. So it's okay. Art imitates life. The movie's funny. There's no problem with me enjoying it. But that's not true. Just because something is accurate to our reality doesn't mean that it's beneficial for us to be exposed to it. That language, those words, will find little nooks and crannies in my head to hide in. And when I'm not watching that movie, when I'm not listening to those words, when I'm not thinking about that kind of language, those words will pop up. When you expose yourself to sin on a regular basis, even if it's mild curse words, you realize that you're starting a pattern, you're starting a habit, and all of a sudden, that becomes normal. And maybe some things that are just a little more sinful start to become normal, because it's just a little more sinful, it's not a big deal. Before you know it, you're actually thinking in a different way. You're starting to be okay with things you shouldn't be okay with. Maybe your tastes in entertainment might change because you think, well, it's just a little bit, it's just a little bit, it's just a little bit. You know, that's the way the world is. This is no different than what I would see if I walk out on the street or I'm at the mall or the store or wherever. And I think that's actually a big point here is that we are already involuntarily exposed to so much sin. If we are trying to, on a daily basis, cleanse ourselves and make ourselves more and more holy, conformed more and more to the image of Christ, then why on earth would we voluntarily expose ourselves to even more sinful things? Why would we put those images in our heads? Why would we let those words enter our ears? And why would we think that it's okay to find any sinfulness entertaining? Scripture instructs us not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, to the cultural norms, to the way that the world operates and thinks, to the things that the world wants us to accept and be okay with. Scripture tells us that we're to be conformed to God's patterns, and that's through the renewal of our minds. And the renewal of our minds is all about what's going in and what's going out. You can't renew your mind spiritually if you're constantly filling it with sin. You've got to get rid of the sin by filling it with holiness, by filling it with the knowledge and wisdom that we gain from God. It's a spiritual cleansing process. We think more and more on the things of God and think less and less on the things of the world, which means that we think less and less on sin. That song I heard in the car might have a nice little hook to it, a good melody. Maybe the singers have incredible voices. Maybe the lyric actually was put together, written very well. But at the end of the day, it is music that is glorifying sin. And it's not worth whatever artistic merit it might have for us to listen to that, for us to put those words and those images in our minds. I can tell you the challenge for me this week is to really take control over what I absorb from this world. Really take control over what my ears are listening to, what my eyes are watching, the things that I'm drawn to take steps to make sure that I'm intentionally getting some good spiritual nourishment in me on a daily basis. And I think that's a good challenge for all of us. Because it seems like you can't go anywhere, you can't look. I can't tell you how many billboards I passed on the highway last week that I thought to myself, I know by the world standards it's perfectly fine to have that image up there, but seriously, you know, this is doing nothing but encouraging the mind to go where it should not go. And quite possibly offending a lot of people in the process. It's really about changing our patterns. Changing our habits to fit the standards of God. That's the goal, right? To be less like the world and more like Him. This week's song, Spiration, is a song called Change Me by Tamela Mann. talks just about this. It talks about, I want to be more and more like you, God, change me. Whether it's my heart or my mind or my emotions, everything about me that can be more like you, let's change those things. But it's not just about a prayer. It's not just about making that request in the authority that Christ gives us. It is about taking proactive steps ourselves to get there as well. We don't just talk, we don't just ask, we don't just pray. We've got to do something, right? We've got to take steps to change those habits. We've got to make sure we have a plan on how we're going to approach this. But the good thing is, this does not have to be some overwhelming process. I mean, this is what God wants for us. His will is for us to be conformed into His likeness in every way. So the way that He thinks, the way that He feels, He wants us to carry those attributes as well. So if we ask Him and we take steps, He'll show us what we have to do. And we can just be as patient as He will be, because it's not a matter of changing one's thoughts and feelings in a day. No, this is a process. This will keep going as long as we're here in this world with these minds and these hearts. We don't get there while we're here. We've got to just take steps to continue the journey. And God will guide us and He'll help us along. He wants us to make this journey. Father, thank you, God, that you give us knowledge and you give us wisdom to be able to discern what is of you and what is not. Father, we ask that you open our eyes, open our ears, sharpen our senses so that we would not be deceived, God, so that when sin tries to creep in the smallest way, Father, we would know that we would not make excuses, God, but that we would be wise to turn, that we would be wise to make sure to stay away from those things, those words, those images, which will stay with us, Father, and try to lead our minds in directions they shouldn't be going. Father, we ask for direction in this process of renewing our minds and conforming ourselves more and more to you. Father, give us discipline and steadfastness and increase our faithfulness, Father, that we would intentionally move away from sin, Father. Thank you, God, for this time that we can come together and just explore your word, Father, your instruction, gain a little more knowledge about your character, Lord. We love you. We can't wait to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good day, and God bless. Soul. 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 Soul.